Welcome, friends, to Inspirational Truths, a time for exploring truths from God's timeless book. My name is Todd Price. I believe that song and the message for today will be a blessing to each of you. So with that in mind, it is my privilege to introduce to you the founder of Inspirational Truths, my father, Tom Price.
Well, greetings, friends. My name is Tom Price. I'm happy to say it's Inspirational Truth time once again, and I greet you as always in the blessed name of Christ, my Savior. And I want Him to be yours. He can be yours, in fact. Luke 19 and 10 tells us He came to be yours. He came to, the Son of Man's come to seek and to save that which is lost, the Word of God says. So if you're lost as this program begins, I've got good news for you, friend. You can be saved by the time that it ends. If you put your trust and faith in Christ Jesus. I've got my Bible open to the book of Psalm 139, and I'm going to do something that I rarely do, and that's I'm going to read the whole Psalm, and I think it's appropriate, and I think it's a necessity to do for this message. But before I do that, listen to that. Heavy's got one of our favorite songs she's going to do. It's the title of one of her projects. Oh, what an honor. You enjoy this, would you? As soon as she gets done with her song, I'll be back with the message. Thanks for joining us today.
Last night I was dreaming. I stood in a place, standing in the midst of a throne. Like a little girl in all of her dreams, I was dressed in royalty. I wondered how this could be, for I'm just a pauper, you see. Heard a thundering voice, it was speaking to me. For you I paid a great price, one day on Calvary. Oh, what an honor to serve a king. He owns it all, He owns everything. Hallelujah. What an honor to serve a king. When I awoke, I realized it was only a dream. Then I heard a still small voice saying, one day it'll be a reality. Oh, what an honor King. He owns it all, He owns everything. Hallelujah, just praising His name. Oh, what an honor to serve a King.
Debbie, one day we'll be there, thank God, and it'll be all by His grace. It'll be for His glory and His honor. That's why He does what He does, friend. That's why He made this plan of salvation. That's why He sent His Son to this earth to die. He did it so He could be glorified and honored. The Bible tells us to Him be glory, both now and forever. Amen. I like that, don't you? Thank you, Debbie, for that beautiful, beautiful song. It's very loved at the church that she and I have the privilege of attending and being a part of. I have the privilege of being a pastor of. In the book of Psalm 139, the Word of God says this, He said, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsettings and mine uprisings. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my pass and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and hast laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it, David said. Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light unto thee. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee. But the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. For thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret, and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I wake, I am still with thee. Surely thou wilt slay the wicked, O God! Depart from me, therefore, ye bloody men, for they speak against thee wickedly, and thine enemies take thy name in vain. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee? And am not I grieved with those that rise up against thee? I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them mine enemies, but search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Now, I'll give you my text in just a few moments, but let me tell you something about this psalm. One of the greatest psalms I think there is in the entire Word of God. Of course, I'd say that about any psalm that I was preaching on. If you've heard me very long, you know that, but it is a remarkable psalm. It's a psalm written by an earthly king. He meditates on the King of Kings, the Heavenly King, and the Lord of Glory, talking about His glory. Man, when David began to ponder God, listen, what he knew and where he was at and what his power was, I'm telling you, listen, it caused David's spirit to soar and his voice to raise and his pen to press deeply into the parchment. I'll tell you, this psalm is simple, but yet it's simply sublime. All the words may be easily understood, but I want you to know, although it is conceivable to some degree, when you begin to think about what it reveals to us about God, I want you to know it's inconceivable. You say, what do you mean, preacher? Well, in this passage, in this scripture, we find that in verses 1 through 6, I believe it is, that God is omniscient. And you say, what is that, preacher? Well, it's a big old word that means God knows everything. I want you to think about that now. I'll be coming back to that in a minute. God knows everything. He knows everything, great and small. He knows everything that He knows equally well. He can't learn anything. He never forgets anything. He said, I am. I'm the great I am that I am. Isn't that amazing? He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He said, I am God, and I change not. This attribute of God is one of His natural attributes. It belongs to no one else. No one else knows what God knows. No one else knows how God knows what He knows. And David said that His knowledge is so wonderful. It is so high that he could not attain unto it. Oh, I'm telling you, friend, listen, this knowledge of Almighty God is amazing, is it not? It is amazing, and it called David to rejoice. It calls David to rejoice, and it ought to call us to rejoice also. My friend, I'll tell you what a joyous thing it is to know that God knows. Now listen now, remember that, would you? God knows. He knows everything that there is to know. He knows the past, present, and the future. He knows our uprisings, our downsettings. He knows the very numbers of the hair on our head. He knows our thoughts and the intents of our heart. He knows the future as well as He knows the past. Listen, friend, there isn't anything that God doesn't know. And the writer Luke says in Acts chapter 15, verse 18, known unto God are all His works, even from the beginning, and therefore God knows. If you look at verses 7 through 16, you'll find that not only does God know, but God is present everywhere at the same time in all of His fullness. Do you hear me? God is everywhere. If there is a space, God is filling it. If there is a place, God is there. God is everywhere, friend, and not just some part of God, and not just some portion of God, but all that God is, do you hear? All that God He is present everywhere in His fullness. It is as if He were not anywhere else, but He is everywhere. He fills the heavens and the earth. Oh, I want you to know, friend, listen, if there is, and I know I've already said it before, if there is a place, God, I get tickled at people that come to church and they get called on to pray. And I know they mean well, but I get a little tickled at them, a little peeved at them too. They'll say, oh, Lord God, thank You for allowing us to come into Thy presence. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to say, wait just a minute. If you've not been in the presence of God, where have you been? There in this presence of God, we find that He is omnipresent, meaning again, that He is everywhere at the same time, present as if He were at no other place. And then it goes on in verses, what is it, 17 down and following, well, not quite that far down. I said 7 through 16, but it's actually 7 through about verse 12, and then He picks it up in verse 13, 14, 15, 16, and He says, look, I want you to know something about God's power. He's got power to create. He's got power, thank God, to keep. But let me get on into my message. Now, I'm going to talk to you. Here's my text, and I held off giving it to you to this point for a reason. I just told you and preached to you that God knows all things. But listen to this text. I'm going to talk to you about four things that God doesn't know. Four things that God doesn't know. You say, well, preacher, you're contradicting yourself. Well, you just hold on just a minute and you'll see whether I am or not, right? Listen, the first thing God doesn't know is how to write a better Bible. I'm about to get happy right now. Thank God. And when I'm talking about the Bible, I'm talking about the King James Bible, the only Bible that's authorized. Thank God. That Bible, listen, that men bled and died to put it in our hands. That Bible, listen, that's brought revivals throughout the world. And I'm telling you, friend, one of the problems with the church and the church age, with America, this great nation, whether people believe it or not, that was founded upon a desire to worship God according to the dictates of their heart and in liberty and freedom. I want you to know, until we get back to it, we'll never have another revival, do you hear me, in this nation or in this world. And it's amazing to me, isn't it, that man thinks he knows better than God. I want you to know, listen, the Word of God tells us in the book of Psalms, in Psalm 119, I believe it is, and verse 8, and He mirrors the same, almost, not exactly, but He mirrors the same in verse 52, where He said, forever, O Lord, is Thy Word settled in heaven. And I know some of y'all are out there thinking and saying, no, wait just a minute, preacher. What makes the King James better than the NIV or the RSV or the ASV or the EET or the DUMB? Bless God, I'll tell you, it's the hand of God on it. It's the power of God on it. I'm telling you, listen, friend, do you think that God's unable to preserve His Word? I know there are no original autographs. I know that none of the original writings of the prophets and men of old or the apostles or the men of the New Testament are in existence today. But let me tell you what I do know. God's Word is preserved, thank God. If He's not able to keep His Word, listen, we've all got a problem. There's no way that God could keep us. Thank God, listen, if He cannot preserve His Word pure and pristine, right down through the ages of time. Listen to what the Word of God tells us. God tells us that He said, Paul did in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. And listen, I'm turning to it. I'm going brain dead. Don't know why. But He said, maybe because I'm brain dead. He said, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. In the book of 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19, the Word of God says, we have a more sure word of prophecy. He said, whereunto you do take well, that you take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place into the day dawn, and the day star rise in your heart. Now watch this. Knowing first that that no prophecy of the Scriptures of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old day by the will of men. Now watch this. But holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. I want you to know that God superintended every word that we have in this Bible. Every word, bless God, that we call the Word of God. I want you to know there's no mistakes in it. There are no errors in it. There are no contradictions in it. And I want you to know God doesn't know how to write a better Bible. Do you remember when they came out with the NIV, which I call the not inspired version? Do you know what they said? It's the last translation. It's the end all translation. And it's just a couple of years back at the making of this program that they brought out a new NIV. Isn't that amazing, friend? How they said, listen, the one that was the end all wasn't the end all at all. Isn't that amazing? Hey, I don't know about you, but I'm going to stick with the one that says this. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, thou wilt fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And thank God I'm going to get in a book that I don't have to wonder and worry about whether or not this word or that word is inspired. I'm going to get him the book that says all Scripture is inspired by God as He moved those 40 plus holy men of God by the Holy Spirit to write, thus said the Lord. Bless God, I got in on it and I plan to go out on it. Amen. I could stay right there all day, but I'm going to tell you something, friend. God doesn't know how to write a better Bible. Number two, God doesn't know how to make a salvation more simple than what He does. He said over in there in the book of Isaiah, He talked about a way. My, listen, I'm going to take it a little out of context, but I'm going to use it in an application. He talked about a way. He said it'd be a way that would be prepared in that desert and solitary place. He said it'd be a way so simple that a fool, though a wayfaring man, would not err therein. In Matthew chapter 8, verse 3. Jesus had a little child, set him there in the midst of all those men and women that were around him, those big to-dos and those that thought they knew something. And Jesus, listen, called for a little child, set him in the midst and said in verse 3, verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as a little child, ye shall in no wise enter into the kingdom. God hasn't called, listen, the things that are mighty and the things that are wise, but the simple things, the base things. And I want you to know that anybody and everybody that wants to be saved can be saved. The Word of God teaches us in the book of Acts chapter 16, verse 30, I believe it is, when Paul and Silas was praying at midnight, you know the story. God heard in heaven, shook the walls and the foundations, the gates and the bars there in that prison, left every man unshackled, and bless God, when that Philippian jailer was going to kill himself, Paul cried out, "Do thyself no harm." He got a light, went into where they were at, and said, "Men and brethren, what must I do to be saved?" And you know what Paul said? Look how hard it is to be saved. "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." That's what he said in the book of John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." That's what he said in John 5:24. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, believeth on him that sent me, hath everlasting life." Hear the words, "believe there." The Bible tells us that John, when he got through writing this great gospel, he said, "Listen, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which were not written in this book, but these things are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through him." I'm telling you, friend, listen, salvation, it's simple. It's ABC. Accept, believe, and confess. Do you hear me? All you got to do is realize you're a sinner. All you got to do is repent of your sin. All you got to do is accept Christ as your Savior. The Bible said, "Whosoever believe, whosoever is called upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If thou shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised Jesus from the dead, thou shalt be saved." Jesus said in the book of John, chapter 6, verse 37, "All that the Father giveth to me shall come to me, but he that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out." Listen, God doesn't know how to make a salvation any simpler than he has already made it and presented it, just like he did in Acts 20:21. It's repentance towards God and faith towards Jesus Christ. Listen, friend, God doesn't know how to write a better Bible. God doesn't know how to make salvation more simple. God doesn't know where to find a greater Savior. Oh, if I had time to develop this, but I don't. But I want you to know that God, listen, friend, God sent his Son to the world to seek and to save that which is lost. In this world that's clamoring, many voices are clamoring to be heard. But I'll tell you what, the Bible warns us to take heed who you hear, take heed what you hear. Matter of fact, the Bible tells us, Proverbs 14:12, "There is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the way of death." And I want you to know that Jesus said himself in John 14:6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Didn't say anything about being a way. He is the way. Do you hear me? The Bible tells us in Acts 4:12, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." There's only one Savior, and His name was Jesus. There's only one Savior, who is the only begotten Son of God. There's only one Savior, who became our substitute, who came into this world to be the sin bearer of whosoever will. And I want you to know there's only one name, friend. Have that one day, now that He's been humiliated. Thank God, according to Philippians 2, He's been exalted. He'll be exalted forever. Hallelujah. And that, listen, there is a day I'm coming that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord, unto the glory of God the Father. Why don't you confess your sins today and receive Him as your Savior? But wait, let me end with this. I wish I had another 30 minutes. Look, God doesn't know how to write a better Bible. God doesn't know how to provide a more simple salvation. God doesn't know where to find a greater Savior. And God cannot save men against His will. I'll tell you what, friend, listen. For reasons I don't understand, and yet I understand some. God wanted man to love Him. God didn't want robots. God wanted somebody, when He said, "I love you," for them to respond back, because they did, from a heart filled with love, saying, "I love you." And you know what? You can be saved today if you want to, but God won't save you against His will. Oh, He's got all power in heaven and earth. He knows whether you're going to be saved or not. He's not only all powerful, but He's all knowing. Do you hear me? But He left us free. I had to decide. Choose you this day, Moses said to the children of Israel. Joshua said, choose you this day, whom you will serve. Moses said, I set before thee life and death. Choose life that both thou and thy children can live. God won't save you against His will. But I'll tell you what, if you'll call on Him, if you call on Him right now, bless God, He'll save you. He'll save you if you hear me, friend. Listen, Allah can't save you. Buddha can't save you. You can't save yourself. That person that loves you better than anybody else in this world, I can't save you. They would if they could, but they can't. And I'll tell you what, He's got power to save whosoever will. But He can't and won't save anybody that won't submit their will to Him. Would you come to Him right now? Would you call on Him? The Bible said again, who should call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you call on Him now, He'll hear you. If you call on Him now, He'll save you. If you call on Him right now, friend, He'll deliver you. You'll become a new creature in Christ. Come to Him today. There's some things God doesn't know how to do. And there's some things you've got to do if you want to go to heaven. Run to Him right now. Repent and receive as my friend.
You are my Savior.
Thank you, friend, for listening to Inspirational Truths today. It is our prayer that the message and the song has been a blessing to your soul and has in some way ministered to your heart. We hope that you will make plans to join us every week at the same time. If you have a special request that you would like us to know about, please feel free to write us and we will be sure to pray about your request, whatever it is. If you'd like to contact us, our address is Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. That's Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. Or on the web at TomAndDebbie@InspirationalTruths.com. That's Tom and Debbie at InspirationalTruths.com. Remember, friend, this is a work of faith. We need both your prayers and your listening ear. Now until the next time, it is our prayer that God will richly bless both you and yours.